The other issue shown him, but just to get his background, is a Tuesday shiur. Tuesday is not a regular shiur. Tuesday shiur. Okay, good. But it's one of the underlying issues of this of the sugya. L'chora, this our sugya should also be an approach with the Gemini Deresh Rishonim. So I'm missing the, I was called away in the middle of preparing this, so we're missing the where the sources are from, so you'll have to follow more carefully. Okay, we'll fill in the blanks. The question that we'll address for a few moments now is how do we, what's the impact in halacha when we notice, or when Chazal noticed, in this case when the Rebbe the Meiron noticed that something changed within the natural world, Nishtana Teva. The very first quote comes from the Tiferes Yisroel. Tiferes Yisroel wrote a Hakdama to Moyed called the Kalkelas HaShabbos. And Tiferes Yisroel Bechlal has Hakdamas to every section of to each of the Storim, and it's a very important chibur, often to organize information, and very often a very important mafteach to the sugya. So the Hakelas HaShabbos was probably the first one to organize Hilchos Shabbos around the Melachos, something that we take for granted right now. And in Meleches Zeireya, he points out that Chazal understood that Meiraglayim is bad for the growth of plants, and therefore Chazal understood that if a person would pour meraglayim over plants, that would not be an Isur Deraisa because it's not a malach of Zereya. So he writes in the bracket ulam b'chochmas. This looks like economia. Why it's economics and not agriculture, I'm not sure. So Omru Shemei Reglaimim Tovim Ma'od Lezabela Karka. That they understood at that time that Mei Reglaim was very good. It was helpful. Im Kain Mizabel told the Schoiresh Kirshami Pirkin, and therefore it should be an Isa Deraisa. Vitzurch Loimar Shenishtana Hateva. So this is an easy call. Right, because this is L'chumra. An easy call to say that since we understand things to be different, even though Chazal said Potter based on their understanding, we would say L'chumra, Nishtanatev, the Kalkelas HaShabbos, the first role is also the one who first raised the question, which became a very burning issue probably 3 years ago in New York, and that was the issue of Metzitza and Shabbos. Like at every bris milah, one has to do mitzitza. One has to pull the blood from the area of the bris. And the Gemara says that if a moel does not do mitzitza, then you take away his kabbalah. He can't do milah anymore. Why? Because he's endangering the child. Chazal understood, Moron Shabbos says, that by pulling out the blood from the area of the orla, where the orla was taken from, so that is required for the proper healing of the bris, and without doing mitzitza, one is endangering the child. All right, v'kachi l'doris. That was the understanding. If a moel doesn't do mitzitza, passes himself. Why? Because he's endangering the child. So sakana safoshes. However, we don't understand how they understood it. Some doctors say, well, that's how you cleanse the wound, right? Now, Bismana Gemara, presumably the way to do mitzitza was to actually suck it. That was the best way you could pull blood. You could pull blood from an area. Kalkelas HaShabbos says, but the Chochmei Ateva Bismanenu don't see it. Don't get it. They don't see any connection between doing mitzitza and saving the child. We would say in 2016 that there have been decades now where doctors do circs in the hospital, and if they would do mitzitza, they would get sued, right? Because mitzitza, because the mouth is seen as the area of the greatest number of bacteria in the body. So the Tiberius Yisrael, he's not interested in minimizing mitzitza. He's hacking new mitzitza on Shabbos. Because mitzitza is inisa deraisa, right? Mitzitza is a dosh. So as long as we're doing, as long as the Kodesh Baruch Hu said you have to do bris on Shabbos, and therefore, and you have a child who's now b'sakana, and you have to do what is required to leave it to sakana, so you line up all your, you line up your ducks, and you say mutter. But once the last piece says, well, according to Chochma Sateva, right now this is not going to avoid a sakana. Kiyuzeh will not make any difference at all. So then, Tiferes Yisrael says, so then we now should be machmir, like we're machmir over here. We should be machmir and say, no mitzitza on Shabbos. So Tiferes Yisrael himself was, as we say, mistayeg. He says, I'm not going to, he himself was not comfortable changing the way that bris was done. He himself wasn't. That's an important yisoid in Nishtana Teva. That Nishtana Teva, whenever that is employed, it's always discussed with a, with the consensus. You never have one person say, I discovered America, I figured out, now things are different. Rav Waldenberg writes in his, Rav Waldenberg, who criticizes Rav Yaakov Yisrael Fisher many years ago, was one of the G'dayli Yerushalayim, one of the most beloved postgame of Yerushalayim, Rav Yaakov Yisrael Fisher. So he had an approach a few years ago where he thought that a pregnant woman need not fast on Yom Kippur. This caused a huge rash in Yerushalayim, because he held that things have changed, and women are, whatever, the pregnancies are weaker now, and even though the Mishnah says that a pregnant woman fasts Yom Kippur, that was Bismanam, Bismaneinu. We know, he says, scores of women have hapolos, have miscarriages because they fast on Yom Kippur. So Rav Waldenberg, he was the representative of the, I think, of the establishment, so to speak, who was Yotzei Bichle Zayin against the Yagzul Fisher. So he has many, many, he argues on many, many points, both in Metzias and in terms of the Halacha. In the Metzias, he says, we don't see scores of women having Apollos and Mutzi Yom Kippur. And he says, and even if you would say that over the course of centuries, it would be noticeable, right? So anyway, but then he makes the point, and if you're going to say Nishtanu Atzvam, you don't say Nishtanu Atzvam without bringing Chachom together. And he says, Rav Yaakov Yisrael was one of the G'dayli Yerushalayim. He was the Rav of Zichron. Right? Zichron, you know, Zichron is the Shtiblach just outside Meir Shorim. The Meir Shorim Shtiblach is where Rav Yoshev was, his base mitzvah was on top of that. But in the, but just outside in the Geula Shtiblach is Zichron. So he was the Rav of Zichron. So he was much loved and a much highly respected of the G'dayli Yerushalayim. But Rav Waldenberg said, Rav Waldenberg was one of the G'dayli Olam as well, also the G'dayli Yerushalayim. He says, Nishtanu HaTeva, we have Nishtanu HaTeva, but you don't pen a tshuva on your own, a single voice. Nishtanu HaTeva means you bring together people, you discuss it, you have a... So that's one of the yesoides of Nishtanu HaTeva, that the Kalkelis HaShabbos pointed out, and even though he felt strongly, he says, but to make a change, that has to be, he felt the change should be made, but not by a lone rav, by a consensus of Rabbanim. Over time, the issue, I would say, Ani Yoy Mazeh, Moylem Du Metzitza on Shabbos. The question of whether Molum do, exactly how Molum Mitzitza, that's a separate question. That's not a issue right now. It's a separate question. But Molum do Mitzitza and Shabbos, I believe that's correct. And Tzaruchian, how do we explain, how do we justify it? So there are different Mahalchim. And now each of these Mahalchim are different Mahalchim in the broad issue of Nishtana Teva. For example, there are, Gedolei Poskim will say, that if Chazal said it, there must be a Tzolos Nefashos. Must be. So either that means that the In other words, it must be that Chazal got it right. So therefore we shouldn't budge. Now, but Chazal didn't get it right. So the answer is no, they got it right. Either it means that they are being choshesh for a statistically insignificant number, which we don't notice, right? Which is going to get covered. If we get a certain machla that maybe will only pop up when the kid is 35. How do we know? How can you ever prove that something's not a sakana? Right? You can never prove it. So therefore, let Chazal, I can do a statistic. You can prove that the babies, that the overwhelming majority of babies who don't have mitzitzah and they do a circ, yeah, but they were done in hospital settings. They weren't done in the base medrash. Right? You never able to prove it. All right, so then don't. Then there's another. So again, that's one mahalach, but that represents a mahalach of poskim that says Chazal got it right. Then there's a mahalach of poskim that say when Chazal. This is the Michtam Elio says this. When Chazal say chelik dal. When Chazal say a natural phenomena, and you think nishtanu atom. So then understand, Chazal may be saying something a little bit different than the way they express it. Right? Maybe it's a melitza, maybe it's a metaphor. And therefore there's a group of poskim who say that what Chazal were referring to may not be a sakonas gufnius, it may be a sakonas ruchnius. How are we to know that? All right. So that's, but again, these represent two different, one mahalach is, if Chazal say they got it right, so three. One is when Chazal say something, it was based on the teva of that time, and therefore it should be reevaluated, but reevaluated by a consensus of poskim. Next is when Chazal say something, they got it right. They're again either because what they're saying is based on Kabbalah, not mystical Kabbalah, but Kabbalah from our Sinai, or it's based on a mystical Kabbalah and a Ruach HaKodesh. You don't get things wrong. All right. So therefore, maybe you'll be able to figure it out if you work hard enough. Third is maybe it's a melitza for something else. I would say Lania's Daiti, these are all probably correct approaches. Different sugyas are addressed different ways. Go ahead.
Another big machlokes about how we interpret like medical ideas of Chazal that were proven wrong. You either say there's three and a half into that.
I think it's the same thing. For example, the Gemara says that conjunctivitis is a konas nefoshes, right? So how do we apply that nowadays? We're not machalal Tuesday for conjunctivitis, right? They don't machalal Shabbos for, so either we say nishtanu ateva, right? And in this case, the poskim will say don't machalal Shabbos for it. Or there's another malach amongst the poskim that says that there, and this is correct medically, there are different kinds of conjunctivitis. There is a conjunctivitis which is not a sakonas nefoshes, but there is a kind of strain, one kind of virus. It is sakonas nefoshes. You don't know which one it is, so you should be machala Tuesday and you should be machala Shabbos for to take care of it. It's a different malachim, but again, it's really all based on the same overall approach. Do we reevaluate and then do it by consensus? Do we not reevaluate that they got it right, but we don't fully understand what they're referring to? Right? And again, in different situations, you apply differently.
If we were to go within the first mahalach that Rabbi said originally, or for that matter, any mahalach that doesn't say that Chazal just used bad signs, meaning if we're going to say that in Chazal's time the Metzius was X,
right,
and in our time the Metzius is Y, and therefore someone wants to change the Psaks a bit.
Right.
The way that they're getting to the fact that the Metzius is Y nowadays is due to some modern scientific method. If that modern scientific method also says that the Metzius was never the way that Chazal, meaning if we analyze old bodies or whatever, so then how could you, it's like a whole,
yes,
if you've got new science, then you can't believe that Chazal was right, and then it's a whole.
So again, you have to, what you're asking is excellent, but without an example, you can't address it. I can't address it. I need to hear an example.
Okay, the lice thing. We have
the lice thing. Okay.
Science look at
good.
Old lice, and they'll see that.
That's good. Valdi should mention
we have
that.
Old lice eggs from a billion year Echmeisnich, whatever.
Right.
So
it so happens that I just read Hesped Rebelsky Zatzal. He addresses this issue. What's the issue? The issue is that the Gemara says that in order to be an Isur Deiraisa Tzedon Shabbos, the Nitzod has to reproduce in a natural way. And anything which is spontaneous reproduction is not considered to be a chai, that killing it is a Isur and Shabbos. Which parenthetically happens to be just a fascinating way of defining chiyus. Chiyus is the ability to reproduce, right? Which, by the way, in our sugya, we've defined godless as Roya Lohoilid, right? And a Ben Sarah Moira, once he is Roya Lohoilid, he cannot be Ben Sarah. So it's a whole Maroch and Machshava. Right? But now coming back, practically, so Chazal say, if you swat a lice on Shabbos, a louse on Shabbos, so then you won't even eat the rice of Tzeda. Why? Because since they spontaneously regenerate, they're not considered to be, and they said incorrectly, but since they spontaneously regenerate, they are not
living
things, right? In other words, since lice come out of the dirt, they don't come from a father and mother lice, right? So the question is, so what Mordechai is saying is, that never was correct.
I'm not saying that.
So how do we understand that? So again, so first of all, you have the same mahalchim. You can say, you could understand what's from. All right, so that sounds very strange in this case, because the way that we understand nature as it is today, there could not be spontaneous regeneration. But Sorokhina, that's correct. Maybe
that's the part that I'm asking. Meaning, if you say that Chazal didn't err from the beginning, could you say Nishtana Atzvah?
Right. So here also there are three approaches. One approach is Chazal can make a mistake in Teva. They can't make a mistake in Halacha. They can't make a mistake in Hashkafa. But when it comes to Chazal and natural science, there's no Kabbalah Misina in natural science.
The psak that comes out from that.
It's based on the, like any psak is evaluating the Metzias.
But it's not an MS. It's not like when Beis Din makes a mistake, we say it was true anyway. Like,
so that's one mahalach, which is perfectly fine. You'll see that Rishonim accepted that approach. Chazal were not Nevi'im. They were human beings, and they evaluated halacha and paskin based on the depth of their understanding, which was based on when it came to science. They're not scientists. That's one mahalach. And again, you'll find many sources. Another mahalach is that Chazal were saying that eggs that cannot be seen by the human eye are not eggs. So they're saying that the definitions of chiyus, of reproduction, is like all other parts of halacha. It's based on what's macro, right? What's macro, macroscopic. Microscopic events, halacha doesn't address. All right, so it's a hashkafa. That would mean the halacha does not change. Third mahalach is, we don't fully understand what Chazal was saying. So if Belsky, who was an autodidact in science, he was an autodidact in many areas. One was mathematics. He's an elite in mathematics. He was an autodidact in astronomy, zoology, and I believe in music and literature as well. He was a musician. He was one of these kids who reads encyclopedias at a very young age. So he apparently pointed out that there are, most of the time, when overwhelmingly in nature, when a species lays an egg, the egg, inside the egg, you find the entire nourishment of the next, of the offspring. Right? Now, classically in science, there are two forms of offspring. One is live offspring, give birth. The other is laying the egg. An egg, overwhelmingly in nature, an egg means that The egg is like what we call the placenta. The egg is the source of the nourishment of the offspring. Right. What's unique about the lice is that the egg does not contain the nourishment for the offspring. That's a unique part, apparently, of lice. So apparently the egg of the lice is a membrane which allows the nurturing offspring to gain its nourishment from outside the egg. All right? That was Belsky's Zohar. He says, you see, the eggs of lice are different. How are they different? That the one generation is not providing the needs of the next of the offspring. One generation is putting the offspring in place, and then the Ribbono Shalom directly is providing the nutrients through being able to suck it in from the... So now, step backwards. Now Chazal said, all of a sudden, this Kiklar Leinayim. Chazal said that it's being spawned by the dirt. It is being spawned by the dirt. It is being nourished by the dirt. Right? Now the connection between the chiyus of this new generation is different than the chiyus. Right? Chiyus, every other animal gives the entire chiyus of the next offspring, either through live birth or through the egg. Here, it's all of a sudden, one offspring, one generation is just giving the physical... always good to see you. So in this, Sir Belsky said, whoa, you see, Chazal, there was a penetrating insight Chazal had over here. And maybe, when Chazal said that this is, that, and when Chazal said that gestation and giving birth is a definition of chiyus, so all of a sudden, you have to take pause over here. Because here, the chiyus of one offspring is not entirely provided by the moilin, so to speak. All right? So again, so when you see these things, you also have to tell me, when you see this, you say, so Chazal did observe something which much later on became the understanding of scientists. And then, again, can we say with certainty? But it is very remarkable. No?
Are we understanding the Shana Teva as both our understanding of nature changed and nature actually changed? Like in our sugya, we were saying the Shana Teva is when, back in the day, you could person could be molded a child at the age of 8, but now our nature has actually changed before we give birth to a kid.
The Shana Teva, the way that I believe it's used, is that there was a change in
physically,
the natural
right?
world.
And now we're speaking about an understanding.
No. So now the question. So there are different approaches as to when Chazal have an opinion, and it was based on a natural event which we now believe is no longer observed. So now there are several Yolamdin. So your Yolamdin says now has several different ways of resolving the stira, right? The stira that Chazal said A is happening, and we say B is happening. So one way of saying it is Nishtanu Ateva. Chazal observed very well, we observed very well, Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed nature to change. That gives rise to the next question. So number one, there are those who say, not correct. And then there are several approaches to how one addresses that event now. So one approach is just not correct. So Chazal did not get it wrong. We got it wrong. In other words, Chazal had some kind of ruach nevuah or some kind of protection of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, they did not get it wrong. And we stick with their psak. And we got it wrong. And we have to, now, I can say we got it wrong. We have pretty good... tools of evaluation and so on and so forth. So either we say, no, Chazal, Ruach HaKodesh, they understood things. Or we say that we try to somehow accommodate what we're saying, what the Chazal is saying. So you can accommodate by saying, by resolving it. In other words, for example, by saying that our powers of observation are somewhat limited. We can only observe with a certain degree of accuracy, and Chazal would be choshesh for that element that we don't observe. Or we say we don't fully get what Chazal said, like the like with the example I'm giving with the eggs of the lice, which is particularly pressing, because as Michael wouldn't say himself, but he said other people would say that it was never like this. So therefore, it's a particularly pressing issue. And it's one thing to say that the age of puberty changed, right? To say that the age of being able to be moiled changed, because we have seen changes in lifespan and changes in maturation, and we've seen those changes. So, but over here, it's saying that science doesn't allow for the possibility of spontaneous regeneration. It is a different, slightly different can. A lot of these things, when you have to analyze them and not put them all into one large swath. But now we're saying the reaction to a observation nishtana teva. So one reaction is wrong. We got it wrong. Their tools of observation are far more powerful than ours, because their tools of observation are ruach hakodesh. They have a shmir from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? One approach is no. Their tools and havanas haTorah are surpassing anything we can do, and we can never question their tools in hashkafa, in observing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, their tools in Chochmas HaTeva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say that you have to have Chochmas HaTeva. So their tools are limited, and therefore their halachic ramifications will be limited. So that's Mikotze LaKotze, right? And again, you could, and that's, if you want to frame it, I found three examples where you have to make a decision on this issue. Because if it's just a question of being machmer, it can always be machmer, right? Mitzitza, you have to make a decision. Because either it's a chil Shabbos, or you're not doing or it's a sakana. You can't straddle that decision-making process, right? A moral has to decide. If I hold that it's doing nothing medically, it's sakana sefasha, it's chil Shabbos, and if I hold the sakana sefasha, I got to do it. There's no, when it comes to lice, nope, they don't kill the lice. What's the big deal? So they won't kill the lice. Yeah. You'll find out some other way of, right? So you can tell you don't have to make a decision when it comes to lice. When it comes to being mashpich, meirik liam, nope. What you do tomorrow, you're going to do today. Yeah, so you don't have to make a decision, right? So I found three situations where you have to make a decision. So that was one of them. Mitzitza was one of them. One was in the time of Mendelssohn, the government wanted people, wanted the Chevra Kedishas not to bury anybody for 3 days after death, because they thought that they found somebody waking up within 3 days. The government established a rule that you have to, again, not the government, I mean, it was the government, I think, in one area of Germany, I think, that said that it was a township, it was a, you know, but it was a county, I think. It said you have to leave the dead. That's for us, it was a big problem. So on one hand, what they were saying was, what are big problems? It was pikuach nevesh. On the other hand, we have a lot of semeis. So you have to make a decision. You can't say we'll be machmer. We'll be machmer and bury him. So you have to make a decision. What's the Chazal apparently said? It's amazing, you know, you don't have to worry about this. I forget what the third one was. Yeah. So sometimes, sometimes they're in between views. For example, the view of Rav Dessler says, it's probably a melitza. In other words, probably Chazal observed nature correctly, you're observing nature correctly, but Chazal were giving you a melitza for something else.
Is it like we explained for Bishara?
Hold on a second. And another possibility is that Chazal were referring to something, they were describing something, which, and this is not from the third, but a little bit different, but we don't, and we have to appreciate. So maybe that's could be another way of an extreme view. All right. So those, let's leave those three approaches. All right. That's clear. Chazal didn't get it wrong. Chazal got it wrong, but it's not a problem in Emunah. They were supposed to get science right. All right. and halacha, and first case halacha doesn't change, second halacha does change, and in the middle, what we say that everybody that you're supposed to try very hard. It doesn't mean it's going to be a crossing. Try very hard to see if there is a way of explaining Chazal, either to explain what they said or having some kind of melitza. Yeah. So that's not a mishtanu teva issue.
Yeah.
That's a much more benign issue where there's a certain human event, right? And the mitzias of that event has changed, and now we have to raise the question of whether we will still apply. In a base, then it could be, but the way to resolve it is free. You have to get several social scientists together. You have to take a poll, whether people know how accurate people are in terms of their dates. I would venture you probably will find that it's still Tov or be to the Adiyam is even with calendars. The people, is it the 5th or 6th of February, 7th or 8th of February? Right. So obviously that particular example would still be around. Nelson?
Wouldn't we say that the case of let's say Mitzitza, there's no Teva that changed. It was that Chazal perhaps got it completely wrong. The nature was always that they were wrong.
No, so that's I would take issue with that. That's possible. What you think is possible, right? But I could give you several interpretations where that's not possible. Where it's very possible Chazal got it totally right. Chazal may have said that by pulling blood out of the area, washes the area, cleanses the wound. Right? Now, it cleanses the wound with an area which could have bacteria, but Bizmana Chazal, it's very possible that your checks and balances were such that your risk benefit was still in favor of doing mitzitza. That's all.
By breaking every sterile field possible.
Okay,
so
but
wash
yeah.
it with water. Even according to what Rev is saying, that still the
okay, but again, let's be honest. You and I have no concept of the way that the home looked in the time of the Gemara when they did the bris. So we have no concept of what sterility was like unlike at that time. So that's certainly a possibility, right?
So we're never. It's not two different things when we say Nishtanu Ateva. We're never saying Chazal got it wrong.
No. I'm saying they're different. I'm saying that they're different approaches. No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, I can. There are those as the Tiferes Yisrael point out. We'll see. Look at the next. The next is the Mogen Avraham. The Mogen Avraham says that the Efshed Man is Ein Azakana. Kidvar the Chazina the Kama Dvar Muskaran BeGemara Shem Sakana the Ruach Ra Mushar Dvar. There are many things that are Azakana VeIdna Eina Imazik. The Nishtanu Atzvois, the Gama called Lefi Teva Artzeis. Right? The example, the Mogen Avraham is referring to the Mogen Avraham thing in Kuf Nun Aleph. There are many things, for example, leaving water open overnight. It's not like it's going to be Tosfos already says, no Sakon anymore. Right? My machroinim Tosef says sakon is defoshes because of melach sedomus. We don't use melach sedomus. Our melach doesn't blind. Right. So there are. So the Mogen Avraham is saying that there are having fish and meat. Right, fish and meat. Sakana tzaras. Right. So the Mogen Avraham took the position nishtanu atvois. Things have changed. Not that they. That Chazal got it wrong, but it's no longer just like we find we know that there are diseases that weren't, that were around and they're no longer around. So for all we know, there could have been certain bacteria that were growing in fish, certainly they were growing in meat. The connection, the combination of those bacteria could be dangerous. Doesn't happen anymore.
So we would never say Chazal got it wrong. That's clear.
No.
Depends on which route you take.
There's three different routes. One either you could say that Chazal had it right in their implant here, right? Or based on, or the second one is that based on Chazal's instruments they had back then, their understanding of it was correct back then, but now the Mitzvah has changed, or you could say they're completely wrong.
For example, by lice, right? There were those who would say, and it's not kfira to say that Chazal didn't have microscopes, so they looked at lice with the best of their ability, and they came to the conclusion that lice are spontaneously regenerated. So one mahalach will say, Chazal got it wrong, and there's no problem with Chazal getting it wrong. If Chazal would have gotten the malach of tzeder wrong, that'd be a problem. That's kefir. But they say that Chazal misevaluated the microscopic information which they had no access to. That's not kefir. That's one malach. Others say no, that is kefir. They say that Chazal got it wrong. Now again, a different malachim.
What happens when you say Nishtana Teva with something that's tied into other things? Like if you have like a Beitza, then the Beitza tells you how many Zaysim, and maybe a Sa, and a Sa tells you how big a man is, and
yeah,
and an Amma. So if you change the Beitza, you're changing everything. Eretz Yisrael was then much, much bigger, much, much smaller. The Mishkan was like this high.
That's the issue of it goes back to the Nerev Yehuda. The Nerev Yehuda was the one who pointed that out. And who came to the conclusion that the volume measurements when Chazal point out how you transfer volume measurements to area measurements in the Gemara, it doesn't work anymore. Right? Now, if we use our Amma and then develop Tzfachim based on our Amma, from our elbow, you take the average person's elbow to the end of his Amma finger, and you transfer that into Tzfachim, you will not, and then you follow the Gemara's conversion, and you convert that into a volume measurement that Chazal give us, right? Because you can convert linear to volume, so then it doesn't work out. It works out that our The Nerev Yehuda's pointed out that the only way that would work would be if in the Gemara's time people were larger than we are now. So that's the Nerev Yehuda's observation. I don't think anybody's ever disproven his observation. Now, what do you do with this observation? So, one thing to say is, well, things have changed. All right. That's part of the observation. Now, what do you do with that information? Do you say that when the Rebbeinu Shem gave us the Shir of Amma, it was the Shir of Amma Mechol Tkufa Tkufa? Enachanami, Amma is a shorter, because Baruch Hu said Amma. All right. That's very similar to our Gemara. Dershin and Dervish Hashanah were not. Did the Kodesh Baruch Hu say the Amma Shemachol Dor Vador? Did the Kodesh Baruch Hu say the Amma of Matan Torah? So there, Poskim will say, because Baruch Hu said the Amma Shemachol Dor Vador. From Chaim Volozhiner would say that you still use that you use the Kezias of the 1600s. In the 1600s, you use the Tefach of the Chaim Volozhiner's Tefach. You take the average Tefach, maybe a little above average Tefach, just to be safe on a day Raisa. And that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu said. So it's true that Bizman HaGemara they didn't add up. But Kodesh Baruch Hu wasn't mechayev us to do the mathematics and the name is what he's talking about. That Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us an Amma, he meant the Amma of Matan Torah. Right? And I would add that Chazanish, that the Nerev Yehuda would probably argue, I'm not saying this, I don't remember seeing this inside, exactly what you were saying. that when you deal with something which is part of a much bigger structure within the system, so then you may have a stronger reason to say that this was a set time from Matan Torah. I'm not saying Machlokes Chaim Elozer and then Rebbe Yehuda is Machlokes Beis Sofer Shammah. Obviously, Rebbe Yehuda wouldn't say that, right? The Chazanish wouldn't say that. But maybe we should look at it carefully and see what the difference is. Right, so again, so the Yehuda made an observation. Now the question, what do you do with that observation? Right? So I don't think we should step back. So I guess there are those who would say, I don't know. I'm not sure. I think the way that it's argued is, do we accommodate the shiurim for nishtanu etzom and therefore go back to old shiurim, or do we say, ein l'dayin olam shenei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us these shiurim is because he wanted them to be usable and functional. So does that mean, it's an interesting question, whether when we rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and Hanami, be machlekes between how big to build will be machlekes haposka? Yeah, Eliyahu is going to have to tell us what to do.
Also, can you say about it, if we're not sure what the Kazai's name is, so that could be one of the three things we were talking about before, because if you really can't eat wheat or bread or whatever and you're just trying to eat the Kazai's, then should you eat more?
I mean, that's an interesting question. Should we go in the lomdus at a kezayis and achilu chashuva, and then update what achilu chashuva is nowadays? I don't know anybody who says that.
There are people. I know there's Sfardish poskim. I don't know if it's the mainstream, but let's say that on like Pesach you have to have like that much matzah.
Yeah. Ashkenazim also. Yeah.
I mean, if you're gonna say nishtanu ateva and you're trusting Teva, I don't know how you don't trust Teva as to what it was like before. If we find the olives, or if we find like old bodies, and their arms are the same length, then once we're trusting science, I feel like you have to trust science all the way. If you say, okay, I don't trust science, science is stupid, Chazal are smart, that's great. And if you say, I trust science, then you have a problem.
Because you don't find the amas change significantly in old cadavers, I don't know.
We have an old amas, we have like measurements of what the, I mean, from archaeological perspective, we have what the Amma was. Yep. Three different time periods. We have the late Roman Amma, the early Roman Amma, and all of them are around...
Same size as ours.
The same size. They're around the foot and a half, like Rav Chaim, Rav Moshe's Mekel, and Rav Chaim knows this year. Nowhere near the Chazanish. So if you're going to say, like, the Chazanish, if you're going to say...
Chazanish is a bad rap. It was the Chazanish. It was the Nehru Yehuda. Chazanish was just passing like the Nehru Yehuda. It wasn't...
Those bones also grew.
Those bones shrunk over the years.
We've also discovered olives that are the same size as nowadays.
Yeah.
And the Mepharshim in Germany, I think, wrote, I don't know how big an olive is. We don't have olives here, so I'm going to guess. I'm going to overestimate. So they didn't. They themselves said they don't actually know how big an olive is.
So I don't think I'm aware of the paper who wrote that. I have to be much more careful with I have to do more research to see if that paper is accurate.
Which paper?
What you're quoting. You're quoting a certain paper that came out that it was guesswork at a certain point of time. I don't know enough to say. I, the research wasn't done so well in that. What else should we point out? Let's point out the Aruch HaShulchan, the very, very end. We pointed out the Kolkal HaShabbos and the Magen Avraham. So maybe before we do that, let me point out a few things. Number one is that we find already the Bali HaTosfos. They already say Nishtanu Atzvam. The Bali HaTosfos say this in Avodah Zarah Chav Dalet. That's the third source. The Tosfos of Avodah Zarah Chav Dalet, I think it's Amud Beis, where the Gemara says that if you have a... You find the Porach Hamor that gives birth within the 3 years of its... A three-year-old para that gives birth, you know that that is a Bechor. Gemara says it's Vade Lekoyen. It's the third source. Okay. Vade Lekoyen. So Tosfos says What do you mean Bada Lekoyin? That means if it's Mana Gemara, to a Poro Chamor did not have any offspring within the first 2 or 3 years of life, he says, Yesh L'tmoya, the Maisa B'chol Yoyim, the Poro Bas Shtei Shonim Yoldos. The Yishlomi Devadei, Ata Nishtano Eis, Mikamoshe B'deros B'shonim. You have to say, things have changed. Science has changed. So Tosfos, it sounds like from Tosfos that he's saying it's clear signs of mismaisim b'chol yoyim, and therefore halacha would in fact be different. We would not say that a 3-year-old pora who gives birth, that's a vadei b'chor l'koyin. That question came up in a tshuva of the Tashbetz, and that's one of the classic sources. It came up when an animal was sold. And it was sold under the pretense it was an animal that had never given birth, but the animal had a ready milk supply. Now, if chokhmas hateva, an animal would not have a milk supply if it did not had not given birth yet. So the question that the Tashbetz raises is whether we can rely on the scientific observation that it would not be a milk supply if there. And that, but that would mean that the animal had given birth before 3 years old. So that's where the Tashbetz makes this point in Lahalacha. You have in the last source in the first page is a Ritva. The Ritva discusses it. The second last source, by the way, is a Tosus in Moed Cotton. There, Tosfos says, the Gemara says, if you eat, one of the healthiest things you can do is eat a fish just before it's about to go rotten. Right? Now, do you have fresh fish? No, not a good idea. Keep the fresh fish until it's about to go rotten, and if you eat it, that's the healthiest thing you can do. So the Tosfos says, we don't see that nowadays. We would think it's a sakana to eat a fish that's about to go rotten, right? So Tosva says that we see that nishtanu, many of the refuos, many of the medications that Chazal advocated no longer seem to work. Now, this is a benign comment of Tosva. It doesn't affect the halacha. It just is advice. Do we follow the advice of Chazal or not? All right. Then the last one on the page is the ritva in Nida. I forget what that. That where the Gemara says that people were, the Hasidim Rishonim were careful not to have chibur with their wives in the first half of the week, because the way that they understood the fertilization of the egg, it would lead to, it would increase the chances of having a baby born in Shabbos. Baby born in Shabbos means that we have to be Mechal Shabbos of the baby born. So the Hasidim Rishonim had this cheshbon of when they would have chibur in order to avoid a baby being born in Shabbos. All right, so then, in general, the question is raised with the Echronim, do we follow this practice of the Hasidim Rishonim to begin with? But then the Ritva points out that this doesn't work nowadays. We don't see this being... The very last line, it's on the top page. Utmihani al das chasidim rishonu halolu shariat teva machishon legamri vegama masin. V'ulai lefim ekoimem divru. Could be things were different in their place and their time. Then there were mods halacha lemasa. We discussed a similar sugi to this. The Ramon Eben Hezer that. That a woman who is nursing a child should not get remarried within the 2 years of having a child. Why? Because her new husband will not be interested in waiting and allowing her to finish nursing the child. And there, in the Bizmana Gemara, not nursing a child was a sakana for the child. So therefore, she's not allowed to get married within the... 2 years. Oh, that's the Aruch HaShulchan at the very bottom of the Yomud. Yesh pesom she'ovru v'nenchu al omram. Right, the Aruch HaShulchan in Eben HaEzer, Simon Yud Gimel. There are those who violated, and he says, and Kadosh Baruch Hu punished them for it. Shebizman hazeh she'ein manikim b'neim shnei shonim, ein tzorach l'amtim shnei shonim. That since nowadays we don't nurse for 2 years, you don't have to wait for 2 years. The hevel yiftze piyem. The gam chazal yodu she'roiv bonim ein yoinkim shnei shonim. Chazal understood that most children are not nursing for 2 years. But because of Chassam Sofer, that they were concerned about the small minority. So the Aruch HaShulchan has two interpretations how to resolve Chazal's observation. Observation number one, possibly number one, is that you're 100% right. Most children wean before 2 years, but Chazal were being choshesh for a minority. It was a minority then, and Chazal were choshesh. Or then Chazal are really saying something a little bit different than the simple reading. That's the Michtam Eliyahu's approach. What they were really saying is, we want to make sure that a woman who for every reason is a single mom, whether it's because of divorce or because of death, that her interest in becoming married as soon as possible, that will become the driving force in her life, to the extent that she may not be as concerned as she should be about the health of a child. Shachush Meyin. So Chazal were really phrasing something. They said it in terms of nursing. But that's not what they were saying. What they were really saying is that they didn't want a woman in any way to compromise the best interest of her baby. And the one thing that could make her compromise that is that the difficulty of being a single mom. So therefore Chazal expressed it by saying, give it 2 years. Right? Uklal Godol Oimer. Now the Aruch HaShulchan said, I'll give you a Klal Godol. Sherevseinu Chazal Levad Godol Kedushosim Chachmosim B'Toyres Hashem. In addition to their wisdom and the sanctity which they had, understanding of Torah, Adhoyu Yoser Gedolim V'Chachmas Tivios Yudias HaOlam Yoser Mikolam Eschakmin Lo Shival Devreim HaTorah. He says they were wiser in their understanding of nature, and on this case, it's human nature he's referring to. The Rishon is very sharp. He says a person who raises questions about Chazal's wisdom of science, meir alatzmi she'ena mamin b'toyres shaval peh. He's really harboring sfeikas about Torah Shel Peh, but he's embarrassed to say it. So he says, Chazal didn't know science. It's a very sharp comment, and it's one of the mahalchim that we've developed.
Could we say that they're not, I mean, in those days, they were sharper than any of their contemporary scientists, but you might say, even nowadays, we know even better than that. He's just saying that
you could question every psak ever if you're questioning Chazal science. You don't know what the
No. I mean, I'm not sure that's accurate what you're saying.
How do we know what Chazal used science in order to psak? We don't know every reason.
Wait. Chazal gave us their opinions, their arguments, and therefore they want us to follow their opinions and arguments as expressed. And why should we then?
Doesn't the Torah say that there have to be like 70 reasons before Chazal?
So that, again, that is a valid approach, right? That sometimes Chazal, that's along the lines of the Michtam Eliyahu, sometimes Chazal will not give us all their reasons for a takana. Right? I'm not sure that's true about interpretation within the Raisa. We know that for takanas. But then that raises a question. Well, if Chazal gave us a reason for Takana, and they didn't give us the three other reasons, well, do they want us then to develop the halacha based on what they were megala to us? Or did they not want us to do that? They want us to... So that's part of the Gra says that in the context of Kevin Shibolo Sibos Lebolo Takanta. But that's in a very specific area where Chazal make a Takana. So even if the Bolo Sibos, and now you would be adding, and if the Takana was based on a natural. Now, the Vilna Gaon, and that's probably the reason why the Vilna Gaon says, against the Smog and Avraham that we quoted. The Vilna Gaon is of the opinion that water that stays open overnight, the Vilna Gaon says, he still says it's Osir. Magen Avraham says, Chazal told us the reason why it's Osir. They told us the reason is because of the snakes. And the snakes are not common nowadays, so therefore we should be Mekel. And the Gros says, no. Not exactly, I don't remember how the Gros inside. But this Gros is consistent with the Vilna Gaon pointing out that we don't always, Chazal, we're not always megal to us their reasons. Right, but I don't know if you can now say that across all of Shas. I mean, if you say that, then you might as well learn Def Yomi. I mean, because then you can't do any longer.
Every reason behind everything that happens in Shas, not everything is clear. It could be that one of the things is based on a scientific thing of their day, and they could have gotten it wrong, so
but,
they just followed their...
No, but if Chazal...
If they say we should Sakana, we don't think there's a Sakana, so then...
But if you follow that argument, first of all, you could never do. You can never learn Biyun.
I'm agreeing with you, that's why I wouldn't follow that argument. I wouldn't say
okay,
that's
good.
Wrong.
I agree. I think that argument is too broad to be emistic. I think it's an emistic idea, but you have to, in certain contexts. That's what you're saying? Okay, so this gives us a little bit of fleshes out the area of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. We'll get back to that tomorrow, Mr. Shem.